We'd like you to welcome you along to our special evening service in Crossgar Free Presbyterian Church. And if you are tuning in tonight, maybe for the first time, we welcome you. And we pray that you'll continue with us and that you will know God's speaking voice. We are glad to have the Reverend Raymond McLaren to give a word of testimony this evening, and later on he will be bringing that word of testimony. But just continue with us and let's worship the Lord together. And we're going to open our service this evening by turning to the hymn which is 270 in our own hymn book. It is the hymn, "Down at the cross where my Saviour died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied, glory to his name." Join in as the words come on your screen. Psalm 3 this evening, we're just going to read from the first verse. "Lord, how long are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say to of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept, I awaked, before the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Let's just turn to the Lord at the throne of grace in prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we come to thee in our Saviour's name. We thank thee for the opportunity of being able to bow before thee at the throne of grace afresh. We thank thee that we come to a God who receives us, and we thank thee for God's mercy to our souls afresh this evening. We thank thee that we can meet around thy word. We thank thee for the word of God that is faithful. We thank thee that though heaven and earth may pass away, thy word shall never pass away. We thank thee that while the grass withereth and the flower thereof fadeth, yet the word of the Lord stands forever. And we rejoice, our God, in the efficacy of thy word. We thank thee it's a word of mercy. We thank thee that it's a word of invitation to those who are outside of Christ, that they might come and find the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. We thank thee that there is a Saviour from all sin. We rejoice in the one who is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And we pray that thou wouldst bless the meeting tonight to that end. Bless thy servant as he comes to preach thy word. We'd ask that thou wouldst use that word to the extension of thy kingdom and to the salvation of the lost. We pray that thou wouldst draw near. We thank thee for the one who gives us testimony tonight. We thank thee for saving him. We thank thee for the way that thou hast used him. And we pray that thou wouldst continue to work and bless tonight as thy word goes forth, that it might find a lasting place within the hearts. And Lord, that people will not just be interested in the story, but we pray that they might trust in the Christ who is uplifted in the story. So Lord, we pray that thou wouldst come tonight. We pray that thou wouldst draw us nigh to thee. We pray for a real sense of thy presence, and that thou wouldst come and pour out thy spirit upon everything that is done and said this evening. Remember us for good. Remember the work and witness here in Crossgar. We pray that thou wouldst cause thy word to have free course and be glorified. We want to uplift the Saviour. We want to bring glory and honour to the blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'd ask that thou wouldst come in power and bless as we seek to serve thee in this day. O God, we pray that thy word indeed would find a resting place within the hearts, that thy word might go forth with power in this day. May there be signs following the preaching of thy word. May there be those that will come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember all who listen in. Be with them, Lord, in their several needs. We pray for comfort where comfort is needed. We pray for help where that help is needed. We pray for healing where healing is needed. And Lord, for every situation, we pray that thou wouldst bless, but particularly for salvation where salvation is needed. Bless thy word. Be with us tonight. Bless thy servant as he gives the word of testimony. We pray of thee, for it is in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. We'd like to welcome everyone along this evening, and you that are tuning in on Facebook, Sermon Audio, and by other means, we welcome you sincerely in our Saviour's precious name. Again, we welcome the Reverend McLernan. We are glad that he was able to provide us with a video of his testimony. If we had been in the church, we have family and friends meetings with special testimonies frequently, or once or four times a year anyway, and this would have been one of them, but we're glad that even we can do this over the internet, and we pray that God will bless his word. Just to remind you of a few announcements for the incoming days, Thursday at 8 is our prayer meeting, and I will be the speaker. Now, we're going to do it on Facebook and Sermon Audio, as we have been doing. But we're going to try Zoom for our prayer time. If you have never done Zoom, it's very simple. It's something that you can download for free. If you're interested, we'll send you the link. If you've never done it before, it'll give you how to download the Zoom app or the Zoom thing that you're able to use. And it's just a matter of clicking on it usually or going through. Sometimes there can be teething problems, but nevertheless it ought to work. If it doesn't work, it's not going to do anything. It's not going to cost you anything, but we're going to try that. So on the church WhatsApp group, or if you private message me in some way, then we'll be able to get you the details of the link that you need, and we'll be able to help us to fellowship maybe in prayer at the prayer meeting. Friday the 8th is the youth fellowship on Zoom, and also for the elders it is presbytery on Zoom on Friday. Next Lord's Day, 10 a.m. FPC Kids Sabbath School. I think also on Friday is FPC Children's Meeting. Need to get the details of that, but I think Friday about 7 probably is FPC Kids Children's Meeting. 11:30 is our morning service, 7 o'clock is the evening meeting, and I will be the preacher in the Lord's will. But before our brother comes to bring a word of testimony this evening, we're going to sing another hymn. It's the hymn 310 in our hymn book, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb. And you can be redeemed by the precious blood of Christ tonight. Now the words will be on the screen, and join with us as we sing right after we have sung the hymn. The Reverend McLernan will come and bring that word of testimony.
Thank you. like to begin by thanking Mr. Dean for the invitation to give a word of testimony. Obviously, we regret not being able to meet with you face to face, but we trust that nevertheless those who watch this little broadcast will be encouraged, and God's people will be blessed, and any who are not saved might come to recognise it is time to seek the Lord. There's no greater privilege in this world than to be able to say, I'm a sinner that God saved by his grace. And speaking of his grace, I want to just read two verses, well-known verses, in Ephesians chapter 2, and it's the verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Just ask help of the Lord as we seek his face now. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for the opportunity to speak a word for thee, and our prayer would be, Lord, that thou would take this frail vessel of clay, grant us the infilling of thy Holy Spirit with wisdom. Lord, give us the right words to say, and grant that what is said will be such as will bring glory to thy great name. Undertake, bless thy word, we pray of thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. The grace of God is a wonderful thing. It's by his grace that I was born in Protestant Ulster. When you think of the nations of this earth that have no gospel influence, no input of the gospel. Nations, I mean, I could so easily have been born in some Muslim country, maybe never hearing the gospel, but here, by the grace of God, I've been born into a land that's been steeped in the Word of God, and we thank God for that. Not only had I that privilege, but I had the great privilege of being born into a Christian home. And of course, I understood from my earliest days that being born in a Christian home didn't make me a Christian. I was taught the way of salvation from my childhood, and I can't remember a time when I didn't understand that I need to be born again if I was ever to see God's heaven. I was brought up to go to Sunday school and church, brought up in the Church of Ireland, and from memory we had two Sunday school teachers that I know would have been saved. Others, I don't know. Two saved teachers, and one of them was my own dad, and I thank God for every remembrance of him. Just an ordinary labouring man, no qualifications, no titles, and just the son of an ordinary individual. I thank God for that upbringing. And to think that, looking back now, I can see and understand that I was chosen in Christ from the foundation of this world. That's something, whilst I believe it, I can't take it in. Why me? Why did the Lord ever set his grace and his favour upon me? I never did anything that would deserve it. It's all of grace. And I thank God that his grace was extended to me. Chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world is how Ephesians 1 and 4 puts it. And then verse 5 of that chapter, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. See that? It's all of God. It's all of God that I have a testimony to give. And really, it's not my testimony. It's the Lord's testimony, what he did for and with a poor sinner. I was obviously conscious, became aware, and you know, something I often think about is the endlessness of eternity. To die unsaved is to go out, as Jude verse 13 puts it, to that place that is reserved, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That's what it is to die without a saviour, to die unsaved, to go into the blackness of darkness forever. Our finite minds can't begin to take in what forever will be. Somebody described it as today with no yesterday and no tomorrow. Time standing still in eternity. And beloved, that could have been me. I could so easily have been cut off in my early days. I think of some of the chances I took as a young fella, raking about on a motorbike with no helmet. Well, there were no helmet laws in those days, and had the odd fall and scars yet to prove it. Some of the situations I've been through where the Lord could have cut me off, but didn't. And in his grace and mercy, spared me. If I died unsaved, I'd be lost in that pit of darkness. And beloved, I say with the greatest of respect, if you are not saved, that's where you're headed. The blackness of darkness forever and the lake of fire. Now, I've said being born into a Christian home didn't make me a Christian. I was brought up to understand ye must be born again. Why? Because except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so I grew up conscious of these things. I thank God for that. Mind you, being told that I was a sinner in need of salvation, it's not really complimentary, sure it's not. But it's a truth that men need to be told. And I feel for those people who maybe attend a place of worship every week when situation, when circumstances allow, but they're not being told of the need to be born again. And beloved, if you get nothing else from this, get this much. You and I have been born in sin. We're not sinners because of some wrong we do. We do wrong because we're sinners. We're born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And except we experience God's forgiveness and the new birth by the power of God's Holy Spirit, unless we come to that point, being born again of the Spirit of God, we are lost. We are born with our backs to God and our faces toward hell. And you, beloved, if you're not saved, you should cry to God for that spirit of repentance and faith, that the Lord would turn you unto himself. Now, being brought up in, as I said, a Christian home, there was many a thing I wouldn't have done. I wasn't deep into the things of this world. I had too much respect for my parents. I never would have darkened the door of a public house. If my parents had found out, it would have grieved them sore. I knew it just wasn't right before God, and it wouldn't. Well, I just didn't get into it. Nevertheless, I was still a sinner. Went through school, like everybody else, left with no magnificent qualifications, and started a job. In fact, I was on the school holidays at the age of 15 and planning to go back to school for further education come September of that year. But during the summer holidays, my parents told me, there's a job in such and such a place. Away you go. And I was sent out to work. And I was sent to a job that I didn't really like because it was working with my hands. And I'm just not a handyman. I wanted to push a pen or do something that involved like an office. But I went anyway and started. And well, one thing led to another. Eventually I ended up in offices. And the Lord looked after me, provided for me. When I turned 17, somebody talked me into joining the Orange Order. I knew nothing about it. My brother had joined it. He was a couple of years older than I. And he told me, well, it's good crack and you should come along. I knew nothing about what they stood for. But looking back, I can see that it was all part of God's plan in my life. Now, I'm not in the Orange Order now, but whenever on the night I joined, I remember it well. I turned 17 at the end of April, and the first lodge meeting was in the month of May. So they had already learned when I was coming up to 17, and they were ready for me. So I went along on the first night, and I had read to me the qualifications of an orange man. I can't remember it all, but something that struck with me on that occasion was an orange man should have a sincere love and veneration for his Heavenly Father, a steadfast faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Saviour. And that hit me. It hit me like a brick. And I tell you, what hit me even more was that this is challenging me. If I'm going to be an orange man, I need to be saved. I understood that much. And then it also hit me. Well, these are unsaved men who were reading these qualifications to me. But you know, the Lord, from that night, took a dealing with my heart. And I began to be very conscious of sin. Well, I went home. I was offered the option, if I didn't want to accept the qualifications, I could step back. I didn't have to join. But in my heart of hearts, I said, I'll join. And deep down, I was saying to myself, I'm going to have to get right with God. That's when I discovered that the devil is alive and well. And the devil put the suggestion to me, right, if you get saved now, this is the month of May, and you go out walking on the 12th of July, the crowds will be lining the roads to see the parade. And you'll stick out like a sore thumb. You'll be like a big light bulb, and the crowds will see you, and they'll make fun of you. You'd be better leaving it after the 12th. Well, we all know the devil's a liar, but I believed it. I was afraid of what people would think, and the scripture says the fear of man bringeth a snare. And I thought it'd be easier after the 12th. So I let the 12th come and go. And I let the summer go. And I tried not to think too much about this getting saved business. But at the same time, the Lord didn't leave me. And I thank God for that. Christmas was then approaching. And as young fellas do, we'd be looking for a Christmas party. And it so happened that just a couple of miles from where we lived, there was a branch of the Royal Belfast Children's Hospital. They used to have a small hospital out in the country where I lived, and there was a nurse's home. And of course, there was a Christmas party in the nurse's home. And somehow or other, us young fellas seemed to manage to get invited to it. Well, here again, the devil came at me with the thought, well, if you get saved and go to that nurse's party, you'll not enjoy it because they'll all laugh at you. Leave it after Christmas. It'll be easier then. And then get saved. You see it in January. And again, I give heed to the devil's lie. And I put it off. I thought, maybe I will get saved in January. And in January came. And February and March. And then the next thing was approaching was Easter. Easter Monday, when I was a young fella, first motorbike race of the season was Easter Monday at Kirkeson, and I wouldn't have missed it. And so plans were made. We were going to go to Kirkeson as usual, and then the devil says, now hold on a wee minute. You can't get saved before Easter, because if you go to Kirkeson, especially Easter Monday, there'll be 10,000 people there. And you'll be standing at the hairpin, and the people will not see the motorbikes. They'll see you. You'll be like a sore thumb. You'll stick out. And beloved, this is the way it went on. I allowed Easter to come and go, thinking it'd be easier to get saved afterwards. But then the next thing was the 12th of July was coming up again. And there was between the 12th of July and the Christmas and Easter, I went through 6 years putting this thing off, putting off getting right with God. 6 years, I have to say, of misery, because I wasn't happy. I wasn't enjoying life the way I should. The Lord, in his grace and mercy, was continually speaking to me. And I mean, I wasn't attending gospel meetings. I still went to my church on a Sunday morning. But like all young fellas, we just run about thinking, ah, well, someday, maybe I'll end up saved. But you know, I'm thankful that the Lord didn't let me go. 6 years I was running away from him, but it was coming up to my birthday at the end of April. And that year, my 23rd birthday, I remember it well. And some, I don't know where I was at the time, but out of the blue, a verse of scripture came to me. I had heard it somewhere, probably in a gospel meeting as a child that my parents had taken me to. Genesis 6:3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. It was only the Spirit of God that brought that verse to my remembrance. And I say, I don't know where it was, but that verse hit me, and hit me hard. And I realized I can't start another year of my life till I get right with God. And I vowed, come my birthday, I'm not going to let it pass. I'm going to get saved. Of course, by this stage, I was keeping company with a young lady. And the devil came with his suggestions. Now, if you get saved, she'll dump you. And I was in a bit of a quandary. What would I do? Would she dump me? She had been brought up in a Presbyterian home. She went to her church every Sunday. She wasn't saved. In fact, I don't think she was ever told of the need to be saved. But was a good, upright young person. And I was very happy with her in her company. And here was the situation. My birthday was on a Sunday, and we were out together that Sunday night. Now, in those days, her parents were quite strict. She had to be home by 10 o'clock. Nowadays, people are only heading out at 10 o'clock, but she had to be home by 10. And I was turning this thing over in my mind. I've got to break this, I've got to tell her what's on my mind, what's on my heart. And I didn't know how. And I watched the clock that evening. I can't remember a thing we talked about or where we went. But I do remember it come 9:30 that Sunday evening. And I realised it's time. It's time we were doing something here. I need to get this girl home. And I need to tell her what's on my mind. And just as best as a poor sinner knew how, I says, Lord, will you help me here? And I turned to her and I said, look, something I need to tell you. And I tried to explain how that we needed to be born again, needed to be saved if we ever wanted to see heaven. And she'd never heard it before. And she broke into tears there in the car. But to cut a long story short, by the grace of God, we both, that Sunday evening, we both trusted the Lord. We were both born in April. We had met in April. Now we got saved in April. And by the grace of God, a couple of years later, we married in April. Now you can call us April fools if you like, but we're fools for Christ. I thank God. She didn't dump me, but the Lord gave her the grace to trust him. And well, we're twins in the Lord, if you like, and I just rejoice. And since we married, she has been a tower of strength to me, a tremendous support. I love her in the Lord. I just thank God for her. Well, planning to marry, we needed somewhere to live. Couldn't afford to build or buy a house at that time, just weren't earning enough for a mortgage. So renting was the only other option. At that time, I lived just outside Lisburn. My wife-to-be came from out near Glenavy. We sort of decided, I didn't like the Church of Ireland because they never preached the gospel. In my remembrance, 25 years in it, and they never told me I needed to be saved. we decided there was a good Presbyterian minister down at the Mays, and he always got the name of being evangelical. I had never been in his church, but we'd heard about him. I lived not far from it, and we kind of made our minds up, we'll attend there. We'll try and get a house in that area, and we'll go there. So made application to the housing executive. They were building new houses just about a mile and a half from that particular Presbyterian church. And the housing executive sent us out a letter granting us one of these houses. However, the letter got lost in the post. How do I know? Because it arrived with me about 5 days later, and I'd only had to come from Lisburn, 4 mile out the road is where I lived, and there was a stamp on the back of the envelope marked Port Stewart. So the letter had gone from Lisburn to Port Stewart and back to me, just outside Lisburn. Anyway, I got the letter and I raced in to the executive office to sign for the house. And they said, oh, I'm sorry, that house was reallocated. You didn't come when we sent for you. And I showed her the back of the envelope. Like I said, it's Port Stewart. This went astray in the post. And said, oh, sorry, there's nothing we can do about that. You didn't come when we thought you should have been here. And so the house has been reallocated. What do we do now? She said, well, would you consider living anywhere else? I said, we need a house. And we waited, I think, 2 weeks. And there was another letter came, and it was a house, just another new development on the edge of Lisburn, quite near the town boundary. And it so happened, I didn't think of it at the time, but it was just about half a mile from the nearest Free Presbyterian Church. I knew nothing about them. I knew Dr. Paisley had something to do with it, but that's about all I knew. I'd never been. However, we married, we moved into this house, and I still continued to attend the Church of Ireland, as it happened, and then my wife's church, maybe now and again, her Presbyterian one. But one evening, some people came round the door doing outreach on behalf of the Free Presbyterian Church, and they invited us along. We thought, well, out of courtesy, we'll go and see what they're about. Well, when we went and heard the preaching of the Word of God, we couldn't believe it. And as young believers, we looked at each other after hearing God's word and instructions on how to live and walk with God. We wondered, will we ever be right before God? I have to say, we enjoyed the meetings. We were made feel very welcome, and we went back. In fact, we stayed. We never went back to the Church of Ireland. We never went back to the Presbyterian. I didn't know a thing, didn't know what apostasy was. I'd never heard of it. I knew now. And the preaching of God's word was such a blessing. And we began to grow in grace and in knowledge of the things of the Lord. And I just praise the Lord for the witness of the Free Church. It's not perfect, but I tell you, we can rejoice in the stand that it takes on the word of God. And we believe in salvation by the blood and nothing else. And we thank God for its sound teaching. And whatever they teach, we were able to believe it. And we just thank God for that. Well, after maybe a couple of years in the church, we joined. That was in 1975. We joined the church and wasn't long in it until I was approached and asked if I would consider taking a Sunday school class. Wow, that was the furthest thing from my mind. I didn't see myself as a teacher, but the superintendent asked me about it, and I said, well, I'll pray about it. And I did. And I couldn't believe what the Lord said to me. He took me to 2 Timothy 4 and 5, where it says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof thy ministry. Well, you could have knocked me down with a feather. But the Lord had spoken. I had to just ask him for that grace to do it. And we did our best, did what we could. Had the joy of sharing God's word with boys and girls. Then at some of the Easter convention meetings, you know the kind of appeal that Dr. Paisley would have made, especially on the Friday night, where young people give themselves, even older people, give themselves to a more committed service of the Lord. I remember standing to my feet and saying, Lord, take my life and make me something useful for God. Of course, I never dreamed what the Lord would bring out of it. But I was challenged about a closer walk with the Lord. And of course, I didn't realise it. The Lord at times was spelling out to me just what he wanted me to do. And I wasn't picking it up, or maybe didn't really want to pick it up. I was very happy in what I was doing. I had been elected to the committee in our Lisburn church. Between that and the Sunday school, I thought, well, I have my hands full. And I was giving of my best to it. And then there was one day, a lady arrived at our door. We'd been neighbours in the early days of our married life. And some of us had moved to a different address. But she came to our door and she says, I'm worried about you. She says, I believe the Lord has been calling you to full-time service and you're not giving heed. I thought, well, why would you come to my door with such a word? She says, you need to pray about it. I thought, well, okay, I'll pray about it, but don't expect anything to happen. But it did. And the first thing the Lord spoke to me through, the first word that I got was 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And I'm thinking, oh, hold on a minute now. That's too simple. If God's calling me to the ministry, to full-time service, or maybe it's missionary work, I would need the red arrows to come flying overhead and leave a big smoke trail in the sky. You are called of God, something like that. And that's not the way the Lord works. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. But it started me seeking the Lord. Again, the Lord took me to 1 Timothy 1:12. And the verse there reads, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Wow. That was about as clear as you could get. And the Lord gave me, almost settled my heart. He wants me in the ministry. Now, I'd left school with no exams. I was now somewhere about 35 years of age and no exams. And this would mean I would have to go back to school. And oh, I thought, how would I ever become a minister? Me, like a nobody with no qualifications. But then, after much prayer and study of God's word, the Lord brought me to this verse in 1 Chronicles 29. And it's the verse 9. Let me read it. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. And notice these words. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. When I got a word like that, I couldn't say no. I had to go. I had to say, Lord, take me the way I am. Fit me for thy service. Do with me whatever is pleasing to thee. Well, by this time, I was driving petrol tankers for Shell and loved the work, a good wage, good working conditions. I just loved everything about it. And whenever I remember starting there and thinking, you know, this will do me nicely till I retire. But the Lord had other ideas. I was only in the place about 7 years whenever the Lord brought me these scriptures and called me out of it. I spoke to Mr. Douglas about getting into the Whitfield College, and I'm not sure he was convinced that I should be there, but I was convinced the Lord had called me. And so arrangements were made. I had to go back to night classes in the college in Lisburn, the technical college. And I started to study. I needed the three O levels to get into the college. I needed English language, English literature and history. And I went to see the head of the department and told him what I was about, that the Lord had called me. I said, I need these three subjects. He says, why not take one at a time? I said, I need the three. I need to get in. I've got to get started college. The Lord wants me in the ministry. And as far as I'm concerned, I need these exams this year and I need to get in. He says, you're asking a lot. He said, if I were you, I would take one at a time. You're a brief while out of school, 20 years out of school. But no, I thought I knew better. And I enrolled for two classes. It turned out they couldn't run a history class because they didn't have enough candidates. And so I studied the two English classes. I ended up, did a correspondence course for the history with a college in London. Three subjects the first year, I only passed one. That left me two to get. So the next year, I took on the two classes again, only passed one subject. After 3 years, I still had only passed two subjects. Now, I was doing shift work, starting work at 6 a.m, coming home. Shell were very good to me. They allowed me a change of shift on those days whenever I had classes to go to at night. And they allowed me to swap from the night shift. Cut a long story short, after those 3 years, punching in about 17, 18 hours a day, I collapsed from mental exhaustion. And the Lord laid me on my back for about 6 weeks and I couldn't even lift a book. But I went back to work. The Lord showed me He still wanted me. He led me to giving me notice and leave work and give myself to study, which I did. Took the next year and studied at home. And with God's help, managed to pass the exam. So 4 years to get three subjects, to get into the college. Took me 7 years to get out, mind you. It was a struggle too. But it was all in the Lord's timing. And I can look back, I can say the Lord met every need along the way. Having left work with no income, my wife took on childminding to try and put bread on the table. Between that and the kindness of some of God's people in our church in Lisburn, I can say we never missed a meal. And the Lord met every need according to the promise of His word. And by His grace, He fitted us for the task of the ministry of His word. What a privilege it has been to serve Him. He led us to Tully Valon. And as it happens, Mr. Dean, your minister, was my senior minister. He was in Corrigarry at that time. And he was able to give me much wise counsel and guidance. And I thank God for every remembrance of him. But that's where we're at. The Lord brought us to Tully Valon. Again, His leading was very clear there. And we had the joy of serving the Lord up there for 14 years up until 2014 when He led us to retire. And we went to live in Ballymoney. Thought I was retired. And then I was approached by our presbytery. Bush Mills had no minister. And I was asked if I would maybe help out there. And the Lord led us again to take on Bushmills, and I couldn't believe it. We did 5.5 years and saw the Lord bless abundantly. Even in that wee work, you might continue to remember it in your prayers, that the Lord will continue to build it up and lead it forward. We thank God for what he has done. He gave us a promise some years back that I have much people in this city. And we've held on to the Lord for that. He said, I will build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It has long been our prayer that the Lord would put Bushmills on the map for the right reason, not for its whiskey, but for the fact that God is there and God has a witness and a work to do. Again, just back in the summer of last year, the Lord led us to finally retire again. But we have many fond memories of time amongst God's people. And it's been our joy to see souls come to know the Lord, and to be able to go into schools and see children saved, build up a children's work there in Bushmills, and see all that the Lord was able to do, and see children come to know him, and even through them, parents coming to know the Saviour. We rejoice in what the Lord's able to do. And it is our prayer that he will lead all our churches and lead all our people on with himself. Can I ask you, just as we finish here this evening, has the Lord been challenging you as a believer? Was there something the Lord asked you to do and you're maybe afraid of it? You're afraid you'll not maybe measure up to the required standard? Maybe you're not saved and you're afraid of what people would think. Listen, your friends could laugh you into hell. They'll not laugh you out of it. Maybe you're like some idle lady arrived at my door one day up in Tullyvallen. She was an unsaved lady, and she came to ask me to pray for her brother, who was dying in hospital. And in the course of conversation, she says, you know, he's dying and he's not ready to go. Well, I mean, I agreed, certainly, I'll go and see him, which we did. I said, what about yourself, dear? Well, she says, I'm not saved. I said, well, why not? She said, well, I just feel like I wouldn't be good enough for God to save. I said, well, who did the Saviour come into this world for? He didn't come for good people. He came into this world to save sinners. He came in to save you. And I say this to you as you watch this. Christ died for you. It's not his will that you should perish, that you should linger on in sin and end up in the blackness of darkness that we spoke of at the beginning. You need to be saved. God has a place for you in heaven, but you have to trust him. It's about being ready to finish with your sin and receiving him into your heart and life to be your saviour. It's not what you can do. It's all of grace. We said at the start, it's by grace you're saved. And that is not of yourself. The gift of God is eternal life. It's not that long since we were celebrating Christmas. Well, after a sort. When somebody brought you a Christmas present, what did you do? Did you refuse it? Or did you offer to pay for it? Did you say, I'd have to do something to earn this? No, you took it. Why? Because it was given as a gift. Well, the Lord's out offering you the gift of everlasting life, a place in heaven. Why would you say no? Why would you refuse it? Oh, beloved, listen. I know everybody's bogged down because of this COVID-19. And yeah, we feel for those who have been taken down with it. And we feel for those who have lost loved ones as a consequence of it. Well, whether you ever get COVID or not, you're still, the bottom line is, you're a sinner, a poor sinner in need of God's salvation. And he offers it to you free, no cost. The price has already been paid. Jesus paid it all. All to him you owe. I mean, his last words on the cross before he died was, it's finished. The work's done. You don't have to worry about living the best you can and trying to engage in pious activity and be charitable to your neighbours. These are all commendable things and all that. That's not what saves. It is salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's not what you can do, it's what he has done. All you have to do is recognise, I'm the sinner. I'm the sinner that Christ died for. If I come by faith and lay my sins on his account, and he has paid for it already with his own blood, and he's given us written confirmation that the price is paid. You put your sins on his account, then you can't be charged because he has paid for it. You go free. That's God's free salvation. Gloriously free. But you have to accept it. Receive him to be your saviour. And there's only one important condition. You've got to do it before you die. Which raises the question, when will you die? You don't know, do you? I don't know. None of us know. Scripture says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Beloved, as you listen to this evening, this could be the last time you ever hear anything in the gospel. This could be your night. If you're not saved, isn't it time you were? Who would volunteer for hell when heaven is offered freely? Oh, beloved, listen, I don't care what the devil may promise you. He'll fail. But God cannot fail. Jesus said, whosoever, that's you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Would you not come then, receive him, and start out for heaven? Don't make the mistake I made. Don't put it off. You'll be miserable. Wasn't it Felix who said, ach, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. There's no record in scripture that convenient season ever came. As far as we're concerned, that man died lost forever in a lost, undone eternity. Don't you join him. You trust Christ to be your saviour. Let him save you. Let him bless you. Let him use you to win others. Have you got family members not saved? Wouldn't you want them in heaven with you? Oh, listen, don't miss it. Give your life to Christ. Let him make your life something that's worth the living. May you do it for his glory. And may he have all the glory, even in your life. The Lord bless you and give you grace to trust him even this day for Jesus' sake. Amen.
We'd just like to thank Mr. McLernan for that word of testimony. We just reiterate what he's just said, that if you don't know the Lord as your Saviour, we invite you to come to him, and you come to him now. Trust him as your Saviour. If you'd like to speak to us, you can get in contact with us by putting a comment or by means of email. But do get in contact with us. We'd love to help you in any way we can, that you might come and put your trust in the Saviour. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer and close our meeting in prayer. Our loving God and our Father, we thank thee for a life transformed by the Spirit of God, and we pray that thou wouldst bless that word to every heart, and we pray that thou wouldst part us now, bless us wherever we may be, and we pray that thy word might have free course and be glorified for Jesus' sake. Amen.